If you've been coming on Sunday night, you'd be like, oh, that's supposed to be finishing up tonight. But, you know, I just thought that it was a good one for Sunday morning. It's about prayer, and I figure that would be a really good, I don't know, hey, talk to God. He's the one who put it on my heart, and so I'm going with what he directed me this week. I mean, tonight's is going to be good too. I think I'm excited about Sunday nights. Just some things that I've learned this week and what I'm going to try to explain to you. But this one of the things that, you know, we need in our life is to understand prayer. I don't know if you can have enough messages about prayer. Anybody here ever needed prayer? Yeah. Some of us have been very much recipients of prayer in different times of our life. And, you know, recently, I've seen God really work some magnificent miracles in some people's life. Y'all know little girl Carlina? We've been talking about her. She got this E. coli bug inside of her, and it just about killed her. You know, and that was, what, 2 months ago? I saw that little girl this past Tuesday giving her mama a hard time because God has brought her out of that. They didn't know what direction she was going to go. You know, she was unresponsive, and it just wasn't looking very positive. And it's looking a whole lot better. Another lady, just recently, she had a stroke and was in a coma for 2 weeks. And just last night, she started responding. And I'm noticing something. There's been a very unique group of people praying for these people. Now, we're acquainted with them because of the homeschool group that we're in. But we've all got something in common. We all meet together for a common mission. And that mission just happens to be for the education of our children. But it draws us closer to each other because we have a common thing that we're hoping to do with our families and our lives. And it draws us closer to each other. And you know, and that's the way the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to have that unique touch with everyone that we're around because we've got a common sense about us. But when we meet together as a church, you know, maybe it's not about education, but it might be about learning about the scriptures. But really what it's about, it is about the commission. The mission that Jesus says, I invite all of you to be on board with this. I'm going to change a little bit of the way that I'm going to go through this, but I want you to look in James real quick in chapter 5 and verse 20. And it says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And this is on the tail end of about 10 or 11 verses that he talks about prayer. It's all about prayer. When you get to the end, it's about the commission. The great commission of Jesus Christ that he says, I want all of my believers to come together for this purpose. Yes, there's things that happen in our life and we need to pray about it, but this is what it is. A sinner that turns from their ways if you can get them to that point when you pray for them and you minister to them and you are commissioning with Jesus Christ, because that's what draws us together. You know, if you came here because the music is so great, well, you might have come to for the wrong reason. If you go anywhere because the music's great, that's not what the gathering is about. If you're coming because you like the people that are there, you should have brotherly love, but that shouldn't be the reason why you come. If you're coming because, well, I just feel obligated to come because that's what I do on Sundays, that's really the wrong reason why you come. But if you're coming because you want to be encouraged that when you leave this place, it's about the commission of Jesus Christ and the gospel that he has presented to the world, because it is through the gospel that sinners are turned from their wicked ways and a soul is saved, that's the right reason to come. That's why you should be here today. That's why you should care about prayer. Because when the world sees God's people pray, it moves things. Things happen. Miracles are seen and experienced. And that draws others. That strengthens that person's faith. But it gives you a very unique opportunity to be a witness for the gospel and to point some sinner to the way of Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. That is why we pray. In fact, let's open up in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to ask for your grace this morning. I ask that you will touch each and every person's heart, that you will work on our prayer life, Lord, that you will help us to understand why it is that we come before you, that it's not because of the things that we want or we desire, but it is because of the things that you want and you desire. And we know what those things are. You desire that no one should be lost, that all should be saved and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and of His truth and of the salvation that only comes through the promises that you have given, and that is the cross. Lord, may your blood wash away our sins. May we be renewed in our spirits and be washed by the regeneration that only comes because of your Holy Spirit's gift in our life. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Help us to apply these things to our life. Would you wash away our sins this morning? Take away all the extra thoughts that we are having and help us to commune with you this morning and take on the commission that you've placed before us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't know what you think about prayer. You know, a lot of people think different things about prayer. You know, I've often asked people, or at least in kids' classes, you know, I'm a little bit more brave in that type of environment, but I'll ask them, I'm like, so if you've prayed, you know, every day this week, would you raise your hand? I'm not asking y'all to. Y'all don't have to raise your hands. And then I'll ask them, you know, well, have you prayed one time, two times, a couple times a day? And then I'll ask, if you've prayed more than 10 minutes, would you raise your hand? And you know what I find? A lot of times there's no hands go up in 10 minutes. That most of their prayers are just like 1 or 2 minute long. I don't even know how they can go through their whole family. I don't even know how they could even pray for their day at just a few minutes. But in reality, that's the way most people are. Oh yeah, I believe in prayer. But they only give it a couple minutes a week. Most, not even every day. Now I hope y'all are here on Sunday mornings. I know today, so far, if you got here whenever Brother Comer came, you know, started the beginning of the devotion, you've gotten in about 5 minutes of prayer probably today. But you know, most people with their prayer time, that's what it exists. That's their week. That's their week's worth of it. Now I want you to think about it. What really is prayer? Prayer is when you are entering into the realm of God. It is when you set aside all the things in your life and you're saying, I'm going to take out time and I'm going to talk to my Creator about whatever. You know, He doesn't care what it is. If you're happy at what He's doing in your life, you could talk to Him about those things. If you're angry, you can talk to Him about those things. If you feel like you've been mistreated, you can actually talk to Him. It's all right. He's not going to get mad at you, even if you're mad at Him. Some people go, oh, you know, Brother Mitch, you got to have reverence. You can be respectful. But I can know when the day that I was saved, I wasn't being very respectful to my Creator. When I looked up to heaven, shaking my fist at Him and saying, I don't even believe in You anymore. It's funny how when I talked to Him like that, that still small voice started speaking back to me. Is that really true, Mitch? What He wanted, that was the first time probably that week that I engaged in any kind of meaningful conversation, and it was when I was yelling at Him because I disapproved of the way that my life was going. It's okay. Prayer is when you enter into the realm of Almighty God. And you start seeing things. And you begin talking about things that maybe you wouldn't talk about with other people. But most of the time, it's not merely for your own purpose. Especially if you're doing it right and you realize that there's a commission involved and that there's lost souls, lives on the table, whether they're family, whether they're friends, maybe they're just some strangers that's on the street. But you've got a heart's desire for it. And you come before Him and you pray because it's not about yourself. It's not about the agendas in your life. But you sincerely want to know what God's will is for your life. And you want to know, and you want confirmation from Him. Lord, am I on the right track? Have I done what You wanted me to do this week? Is there something more that You would like me to do this week? Maybe you're talking to Him about, well, for me, I'm talking to Him about a kid who's in my house. It's not really a kid anymore. A young lady about to leave for college. You think I might spend a few hours on that? You better believe it. Not just minutes. Because I know she's going to make some decisions in her life. This isn't about you, girl. But I just know that we all have some things in our life that are like that, that we feel like they're important. It's not really about me, but I'd really like her to make some good decisions with her life because I've seen at this juncture how easy it is to make some really horrible mistakes that will affect you for years to come, maybe for the rest of your life. And it's important for you to be on track with God's way in your life. I know when I left home, there were some people praying for me. And I needed it. Because I made some pretty poor decisions starting out. But God kept me in some good places. Sometimes He even made wheels fly off of cars to make sure I didn't get in the wrong place. It's a true story. Going somewhere I don't need to be going. And somehow God kicks a tire off this. Not just the wheel, like the whole hub goes flying across the interstate. Because He knew I didn't need to be going there, and I knew I didn't need to either. Guarantee I had some parents praying for me. Caroline, she doesn't know it right now, but she's going to look back. And she's going to hear about these stories of this year. And she's like, man, God's hand was on me. And then when she hears about the thousands who have been praying for her, and Alicia, how many hundreds and thousands of people are praying for her in Jonesboro because of the advent of Facebook. I was just thinking the other day, I saw Joy, she posted, hey, I just want all you friends, and I don't get on there very much, but she said, I just want all my Facebook friends to remember to pray for Alicia. A few hours after that, that's when we got the message. Alicia's doing a lot better. Prayer means something. So many of our Christian leaders are saying the only way that the church in America is going to come back is if people will pray. But we don't really pray like we should. You know, we shouldn't have to call a whole church meeting together, It certainly shouldn't be the pastor's job, I don't think. Because I'm reminded of a specific prayer opportunity that was in the Old Testament. Peter is in jail. And we see in the story of Acts that something unique is going on. There's a prayer meeting going on at Mary's house. None of the disciples or the apostles are there. Do you realize that? Mary, the mother of Mark, is hosting a prayer meeting at her house. The only people that we know were there are a bunch of ladies. We don't know if any other guys are there, but she's hosting it. And they're praying. And Peter is released. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, he's taking a nap. He knows his life is on the line. That if he wakes up tomorrow in the same situation that he's going to sleep in, he's going to lose his head just like his buddy James did. That was on Herod's mind to kill Peter. And Peter's taking a nap. And there's a prayer meeting going on at Mary's house. And the angel comes in, taps on Peter. Has to almost, Peter, wake up. He doesn't want to wake up. He's out. And he's like, this is a dream. And all of a sudden the chains fall off of him and he leads him out. Walking past guards, they don't see him. Walks out the gate. The gate just kind of opens by itself. And he's like, is this for real? You know whose house he goes to? Mary's. Knocks on the door. And they respond a little bit like what we do. Like, he's knocking on the door. Go see who's at the door. I think her name was Rhoda. She shows up. She's like, it's Peter. He's at the door. She's so excited. She forgets to open it up. Runs back. Hey, Peter's at the door. And they're like, you are crazy. He's about to die. We're praying for him. Like, yeah, the prayers have worked. He's at the door. Peter, he's still knocking. Let me in. I want to tell you, your prayers have been answered. That was without the preachers there. That was when God's people decided, hey, there is a need for us to say, it's not about the leadership anymore. We've got to be the people who engage this world. We have got to start with prayer at our own house. Call them in. Bring them in. We've got to pray. There's some stuff going on. Do you believe in prayer today? It's not about us. It's about others. Now look with me in James. As we get into chapter 5, I want to start by giving you a couple of verses in Colossians 3 and verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. You know, if you could do that, if you could set your affections on things in heaven, not on things in the earth, your prayer life is going to be different. You're going to do some different things. You're going to spend a lot more time praying than maybe even reading your Bible. We think that reading the Bible's, you know, important, and it is. But this is our approach to prayer a lot of times. We rub it like it's a genie in a lamp. God, I need, I need, I need. Don't expect God to hear that prayer. He knows what your needs are. But He also knows when you're being selfish. Set your affection on things above. 2 Corinthians 14 will say it like this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're looking for eternal things, not just temporal things. Yes, it was great that Peter was released, but can you imagine the faith of all those who were praying for Peter? Jerusalem needed that. Jonesboro needs that. Jonesboro needs some people like what Mary had in her house saying, we have got to change the way that we do church. We've got to come together to seek God's face, to seek His will. It's not about the temporal. It's about the things that are above. James chapter 5 and verse 13. He says that, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." I want to pause just for a second. Look at verse 13. It says, pray when you're afflicted. Pray in affliction. Now, I want to remind you something. How did Jesus pray when things were going on in His life that He didn't want to happen? Do you remember Him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He's kneeling down, and it says that He's praying as though there was great drops of blood coming off of Him. He prayed in affliction, but this is how He prayed. He says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done." He prayed, "Thy will be done." While He's going through things, I don't know if you've ever been through some things. I bet you have. If you haven't, there will be some things. Because as long as you're alive, something's going to come into your life that you're not going to like. You're going to feel afflicted. There may be even some major things come into your life that really is real affliction. We don't know that prison sentences aren't in our future. They put Christians in prison all the time in the New Testament. In some places they stoned them. Other places they hung them. Some places they beheaded them. Our brothers and sisters over in the Middle Eastern countries, there are hundreds dying every single day because of their faith. And you know how they're dying? Just like it says in the book of Revelation, by beheading. Can you imagine that? I struggle to imagine that. You're alive and all of a sudden your head is just removed from the rest of your body. That's what's happening over there. Or maybe they're in a church and it's being blown up. That's what happened in Sri Lanka last week. Over 300 people lost their lives in Christian assemblies over in Sri Lanka. You think we're exempt? We're not exempt. It's happened here in the United States. It could happen today. We need to be ready, and we need to be prayed up and ready and realizing, yeah, those things are bad, but lost souls is worse. And we pray in affliction. How do we pray? Just like Jesus did. And He even told us to in Mark 6 and verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's how Jesus would tell you to pray. That doesn't mean that just like the peace is in heaven, I want it down here. You're praying, God's will be done. Why would God allow those things to happen in your life? To reach lost people. That's why He would allow things to happen in your life. You know, when Peter went to jail, when Paul went to jail, you know why he was in jail? To reach the lost people in jail. To reach the soldiers, the jail keepers, to reach the politicians. He never would have had that opportunity had he not experienced that in his life. We wouldn't even have most of the New Testament if he had not experienced that in his life. Why would God allow us to go through those things? Not so that we can have the most pleasant life that we can, but so that through our life we can reach others. Are you willing to, no matter what? We've got a bunch of American Christians that it's not like that. They want their prosperity. And they love that type of preaching. Oh, make me healthy and wealthy and well. But you don't see that in the Scriptures. What you see is people who when they bow the knee, they're like, "Lord, whatever needs to happen for me to reach that person, I'm willing. If you want me to reach them, I'll do whatever. I'll be whatever." And that's the way you pray. Have you ever prayed like that? look at the next thing that it has in there. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You realize that when we sing the songs here, those are prayers. A lot of people think, oh, that's the worship time. That's not the worship time. That's actually prayer time, where you're singing songs of prayer. That's what the Psalms are. They're songs of prayer that the psalmist wrote. A lot of our authors in our books, those songs are prayers that those people did. When it comes time for you to worship, the way that you worship is through the things that happen after the prayer time. When you get up and you're ready to serve and you're ready to do and you say, God, I pray for your will to be done in my life. Now it's time to worship. Now it's time to do something. Now it's time to reach others. Do I need a sacrifice? Do I need to go? What do I need to do to reach others? That's true worship. In spirit and in truth. Knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to lead others to Him through my life. That's what that means. Verse 14, it says, any is sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. When things come up, it's okay for you to have other people pray with you, to pray for you. You should want that. I mean, I've been sinning. You know, it is hard. If you're not on social media, if you don't get text messages, you don't answer your phone, how do I contact you? When we live all over the place, y'all have seen it here lately, trying to get people to understand. Ms. Zifa needed prayer a couple of weeks ago. We didn't know what was going on. But a bunch of people, they got the text and they got the message. Oh, I'm praying. Thanks for keeping me updated on what's going on. And I believe that all those people all of a sudden started praying. Do you understand what prayer really is like that? I mean, here in a few months, it's going to get really hot in this building. Can you imagine if we just had one air conditioner for this whole building? How hot would it be? If we just had one. But we've got, what, 4 units, Brother Comer? We've got 4 units to cool down the whole building, and it can get really cold really fast. I'm amazed at how hot it gets in the wintertime. Cut those units on. Up here it's like 90 degrees. Because the units are all going. We've got Christians spread out all over the world. If we can get them to pray, centralized about the same thing at the same time, do you think heaven notices? He notices when one person's praying. But when multiple people are praying at the same time, when you come together and you pray, sometimes that happens like they did in the case of Mary. When she invited all those people over, she's like, this is important. We got to pray. We're not leaving here tonight until we know something about Peter, whether he's alive or he's dead. In the book of Daniel, we see where Daniel, he prayed and he fasted until he got the answer. And then God sent the angel, and the angel ran into an obstacle. He said, Daniel, as soon as you started praying, I left, but I ran into some problems. I ran into the principalities of the air, and I had to fight a battle to get here to you. Do you realize that our prayers cause battles in heaven? Because when we are praying in the Holy Spirit, it causes heaven and earth to start moving. And there's things out there that want to bring destruction, that want to kill, that want to bring down the United States, that wants to bring down all the churches. And our prayers going up causes angels to have to move. Because God's like, I'm going to give you an answer. And the battle's going to rage. The devil's going to lose. But a lot of battles are already lost because we never get prayed to begin with. The battle starts with us saying, I want to see an answer. I want to see God move in this. I want to see miracles. I want to see healings. I'm not talking about faith healing. I'm not talking about bringing them up here and making people in a wheelchair walk. To me, that's selfish. But what I do want to see is I want to see people come to know the Lord because they see a healing in someone's life. That's what I think God does. That's why I think that there's healings sometimes. Why we each need prayer. I just wonder, have you ever been in that situation and somebody prayed for you and all of a sudden you experienced supernatural healing? You know it was supernatural healing. How did you feel? Was your faith increased? I bet it was. Because that's why God wants those things to happen in your life. And here he says, I want more people to understand this. I want them to get involved. Look in verse 15. It says, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's not just about the raising of the sick. It's about the forgiveness of sins. If somebody has sin in their life, that is a golden opportunity to reach them with the gospel and say, you need to repent of your sins. Do you know you almost died? Do you know if you died that you would have went to heaven? Boy, that puts somebody in a difficult situation because they're like, oh man, I thought I was a goner. I could have died right there. There's no way when that question hits you that it just falls flat. You're like, I almost met the judge. I almost met the creator. Was I ready? That's a good opportunity to ask somebody when they experience some healing in their life, the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James says, prayer is about getting to the root of problems. You know, it doesn't do much good to pray for somebody who's sick if their soul is lost. Oftentimes, I think the reason that they go through some things like that is so that they can experience forgiveness of their sins. So people will come and see them. Take that opportunity. Be a witness. Be an encouragement. It's okay. James says it's okay to ask that question, but you know, James is pretty point blank. And then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Could you put your name in there? The effectual, fervent prayer of Mitch availeth much. Put your own name in there. Are you an effectual, fervent prayer warrior? Or do you just you don't even hit your knees? Maybe while you're maybe on the way to work, you offer a prayer. Maybe whenever you get up, you offer a short prayer for the day. But it's not effectual. It's not fervent. You do it because somebody told you need to do it. The effectual fervent prayer means that this is what I must do. I have to do it. There's something inside of me that's just driving me to be able to talk to my Creator. Not because I have to, because I want to. I feel like I just must do it. Is that you? Do you feel like that? Be willing to pray for each other. You know, some people, they don't feel like they're worth being prayed for or that the situation is worth being prayed for. Let me tell you, there's no person that's not worth it. There's no situation that's not worth talking to God about. I can assure you, if you try to do a bunch of things on your own, you're going to mess them up. That's what I've done. When I thought, oh, I can handle this one. Oh, goodness, I can't handle nothing. I can mess up the best of things. That's why I need to seek Him first. That's why I need His guidance. I need His plan. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Pray for the truth to happen in people's lives. Not just so they can experience a miracle, unless it's salvation. They need to experience that. Did you catch that last final part again? I already talked about it a little bit. But brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, you see, Elijah, he prayed God's truth. Do you realize that's what he did? Turn back to, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 12 or so. Solomon prayed a prayer. And he says, God, if they turn from you, take away their rain. Mess up their harvest so that they will look to you and know that you're God. And that they will get down on their knees and that they will repent of their sins and they will turn back to you. And Elijah says, that's what's happened in Israel. And he prayed the scriptures. He prayed that back to God during that time. And God took away rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't come back until he prayed for it to come back. Read the part where it came back. He prayed 7 times that it would come back. And he kept sending his servant, go look, go look, go look, go look, go look, go look. 7 times. And then that last time he said, there's a little cloud. That little cloud is coming. And he says, it's the sound of abundance of rain. Hey, when God's people get the truth, it's the abundance of rain. When God's people realize that we are in a season of drought in our country and the truth has not been proclaimed, that's why we're almost at 50% of the people who even claim to be Christians anymore. 30 years ago, it was 90. Now we're down to almost 50. You know what happened? The truth got taken out of churches. You know how I know it happened in the churches? Because when the believers left, they didn't talk about the truth. They talked about other things. They didn't leave saying, I'm about the commission. Every one of us should leave here saying in their self, I'm going to preach the word to somebody this week. You're like, oh, we're not supposed to be preachers. You're supposed to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be on the commission. What does a commissioned messenger do? They give the word. That's what they're supposed to be doing. We have failed to do that. It's time to get over it. It's time to see that we really do have a mission ahead of us. And if we're going to get our children back, if we're going to save our country, we need to get back to the truth. If you're going to save a soul from hell, they're going to recognize the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. They got to believe that He died for their sins. They got to believe that He's God manifest in the flesh. They got to believe that God is right about their sin and that they must repent from it. If there's anybody here, if you haven't repented from your sins, you must repent. That doesn't mean you have to announce to the world every single sin that you've done. You just agree that God is right about your situation. And you're like, God, I'm tired of doing it wrong and I want to do it your way from now on. As it is in heaven, I want it to be in on earth. Lord, Thy will be done in my life. Lord, would You help me with that? I repent of doing it on my own. And I want to seek Your face. I want to acknowledge what your what the way you want me to live my life. I want to be led by your Spirit. And you call upon the name of the Lord, just like Romans 10:13 says. And the Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how that starts? With a prayer. And it's usually not that person's prayer. It's usually someone praying for them. Lord, would you save this person? They've erred from your way. They've erred from your truth. They've rebelled. Lord, they need the forgiveness of their sins. What can I do? What can I say? What needs to be done to reach them? Lord, thy will be done. The song leader and the pianist would come. Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, would you help us to understand prayer in our life? How to effectually and fervently pray the way you want us to. How we can seek your will in our life. And that you will turn us, Lord, from the error of our way and to seek your righteousness and your holiness. Give us an understanding heart. Lord, for those who are saved amongst us, Lord, would you give us a burden to reach others with the gospel? That all of these things that we should be praying about, how we should be praying, that we'll apply those things in our life. And that we're not just going to haphazardly go through life anymore. But we're going to seek your face and we're going to honor you and we're going to have the right fellowship that you desire from us. Guide us, Lord, in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.